Today's guest, author, entrepreneur, and speaker, Keevy Bernhard. You're listening to the Eagles Talent Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Eagles Talent Speakers Bureau, for speakers who inspire, educate, and entertain. You can find us online at eaglestalent.com. Remember, you can listen to our podcast on our website or subscribe on iTunes by simply typing in Eagles Talent on the iTunes search bar. If you're interested in bringing any of the speakers in that we have as guests on our podcast, you can do so by visiting us online at eaglestalent.com. What do you get when you place an enthusiastic South African man with an equal knowledge of business success and hunting techniques of the marvelous leopard? The answer is Keevy Bernhard, author of the internationally acclaimed business book Leopardology and CEO of his own wholesale multi-million dollar diamond business. Keevy sat down recently with our own Sheldon Senek to give us his philosophies on business and success.
Keevy Bernhard, welcome to the Eagles Talent Podcast. So glad you can join us today.
Thank you, Sheldon, and certainly my honor to be with you.
Keevy, you grew up in Johannesburg, South Africa, and moved here with your wife, four daughters, and a huge check of $860.22. Can you tell me about your journey to America?
Absolutely. And by the way, Sheldon, that 22 cents was actually in helping to pay for a stamp to go to Harrisburg to submit my business license. So we want to take note of that. But absolutely, my wife, myself, my 13 pieces of luggage arrived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania August of 1997, relocating, transatlantically to come across from South Africa to the United States at approximately age 29.
Uh-huh.
Born and bred in South Africa, and as we'll discover, truly a son of Africa, was one of the most difficult things I have ever done in my entire life.
Mm.
Basically, Sheldon, very difficult to move money out of South Africa because of foreign exchange control. This is, by the way, something that was legislated into government by the National Party in South Africa in the late 1960s, imposing a restriction on the movement of money.
Mm-hmm.
In an attempt to sort of really inhibit a brain drain.
Right.
From South Africa, which was incidentally a very effective thing, but made it very difficult to move money out, immigration purposes, even travel purposes. And when I went to Pretoria to apply, for the opportunity to take some money over, communicating to them that I was taking my four children, my wife, and 13 pieces of luggage to Johannesburg, South Africa, from Johannesburg to the United States, they said, sure, here's a check for $860.22. And that was it. It was written on the First National Bank of South Africa and relocated to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where my parents-in-law lived at the time. And so that made sense for us to relocate there. We now live in Atlanta because the sun comes out, and it's a far better option.
It's cloudy over there in Pittsburgh, I know.
Right. And Sheldon, essentially, I was in the diamond business. I come out of the diamond business.
Mm-hmm.
We cut and polished loose diamonds in Johannesburg, South Africa. We polished to finished goods, wholesale distribute to retail jewelers, manufacturing jewelers, dealers, and that primarily is the business that we were in. It was incredibly difficult to get any kind of support here and credit support in the United States. I mean, mm-hmm. I was just an unknown entity, and I was coming to a foreign market, foreign topography, foreign demographic. And really had to start from the ground up.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because it really seems you literally had to build your business from scratch. When you moved here, I would think it would be overwhelming. What were some of the things that you focused on to be successful?
Sheldon, is a very good, very valid point. It was overwhelming. I honestly would sort of wake up in the morning mm-hmm. and compute as to where to begin this hunt, because it was humongous. taking cognizance of the size and the magnitude of competitors that were out there that had strong, deep positions in the marketplace, you know, generationally.
Right.
It was an insurmountable obstacle. And, you know, the diamond business is about trust. It's about performance history, relationship, and, you know, who I was an unknown quantity. You know, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm knocking on doors of retail jewelers that are, you know, twice and three times my age, looking to enter that, you know, that transactional space of trust and, you know, unequivocal trust. And I just couldn't get in. I could not get in with a toothpick. And I'm telling you that aside from driving on the other side of the road and dealing with temperatures, you know, that I hadn't seen in my life, and this white stuff that God decided to put on the ground in the Northeast,
right.
it was just an absolutely impossible task. And really, it became a function of the mental, you know, gymnastics and navigating the stamina mentally to just, you know, create a different paradigm in my headspace and allow me to appreciate and really understand the intrinsic value of incremental success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that a $10 profit, that a $100 profit, that having gone out and made $250 was a day well spent and well done. And it really became about consuming life in small, bite-size, you know, amounts.
So was there a turning point where you said, I finally got it, I understand what it's about? You kind of cracked the code a little bit to create that business and make it successful?
You know, Sheldon, as I was traversing and moving through those highways and byways of of Ohio, Pennsylvania, you know, Virginia, West Virginia, literally knocking on doors, looking to gain access to established retail jewelers, a fascinating thing began to take place. The hunt of that majestic, magnificent African leopard, Ingwe, they call him in Zulu, pristine hunter, you know, that I had been privileged to see in the African bush so many times over the course of my years spent there in perfect high definition. It just came to play back on my mind's, you know, 52-inch, you know, Blu-ray. And I just began to make a critical analysis of the strategic and practical breakdown of this leopard's hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to formulate a thinking package that I actually termed and called at that time to myself. I would refer to it as leopardology,
right.
Critical business thinking gleaned from the hunting habits of Africa's most successful predator.
Mm-hmm.
And upon making a critical analysis over the course of time, I had a lot of time to really flesh this out, you know, as I was moving through those open roads and, you know, driving from one client to another, you know, taking rejection. And I really began to sort of formulate this thinking package and sort of adopting techniques and methodologies that I had seen employed by this closer of all closers, the African leopard, and I would transfer those lessons from the bush to my boardroom and really begin incorporating some of these strategic behaviors. And I must tell you, Sheldon, that that became a significant turning point, not only in my headspace, but in the success and the stability of the business itself.
Well, let's talk about some of those. It's in your book, The Leopardology, The Hunt for Profit in a Tough Global Economy.
Right.
You have the six pillars for hunting for success. Let's talk about a few of these. One is know what you are.
Sure. So as you correctly mentioned, leopardology is built on six pillars of what I called positive predatory thinking. And because it catches you and it kind of doesn't, it's you know, not politically correct, it really made an impact on me. And
right.
I would refer to these. People ask me why there's only six, because I only work 6 days a week. And it is premised on, as you say, positive predatory pillar number one, which is really actually a foundational understanding that takes you forth and then leads you to the other five aspects. And that is... Know who and what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is something that rolls off the tongue quickly, but it's critical to understand what we're looking for here. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for preference. We are not looking to understand an aspect of personal or predisposition. Mm-hmm. We are looking to understand intrinsically, as a human being, who are you? I'm asking you not what you do, mm-hmm. not what your education is, not whether you prefer, you know, Pepsi Cola or Coca Cola, or an iPod, or Android. I'm asking you, who are you mm-hmm. as a human being intrinsically? What is the stuff of life that makes you tick? Mm-hmm. Who are you? And I explain to you why. This is your single market, biggest market differentiator.
It seems like a lot of people probably make mistakes with, you know, probably thinking about their preferential things, you know, things they like, the Android or the iPhone or the instead of what you're really talking about, getting down to that rawness of knowing who and what you are.
Absolutely. And here is the critical aspect about this as pillar number one of Lepidology. Sheldon, it is your single biggest market differentiator. You know, your product is purchasable. Mm-hmm. It is purchasable at a price actually anywhere in the world from several vendors, manufacturers, retailers, wholesale distributors, channel distributors that are in precisely the same market space you're in.
Right.
What is actually not available anywhere else but with you is the human being that you are and the aspect or the ingredient of that manifested in the transaction that happens with you. And my question to you is, have you taken inventory of it? Have you identified it? And have you mobilized it to your client and your market offering? Because it's totally counterintuitive. Meaning we go to finessed MBA schools, which, by the way, I've had the pleasure of lecturing in, and we understand all sorts of academic and clinical aspects of, you know, removed human sort of transaction and modality. Mm-hmm. But in fact, Sheldon, the single thing that your client cannot get anywhere else is actually the experience of doing business with you as a human being. And so intuitively, we take least inventory of this because it's knocked into our headspace that it's not applicable. But in fact, it's the only thing they cannot get anywhere else and the thing that we so often forget to bring to the table, which really brands our entire market offering with something that our competitors simply cannot give our clients. And the fascinating thing is this, Leopard have an absolutely intrinsic, unabashed, and unapologetic relationship with their tooling and apparatus. Mm-hmm. First of all, Sheldon, they are continually taking inventory of all of their apparatus and their tooling. It's an amazing thing to see in the African bush. It used to be thought that these grooming rituals that Leopard, by the way, all feline predators do this, but leopard do it with exception. They'll spend somewhere between 20 and 25% of their daylight hours taking that huge, powerful, serrated tongue and sort of just moving it and licking right through their coat, their body, you know, old wounds, mm-hmm. new wounds, musculature. Beyond simply being a grooming process, there is actually a subliminal inventory-taking process that is happening. Everything literally gets a licking. Everything gets revisited for working condition, for mobility into the marketplace, accessibility of its function, and a reminder, sort of an intrinsic and internal reminder of the apparatus and the tooling that it has available to it to take to the hunt. And this is something that is a phenomenon. We forget. We are so caught up in price, in product, in service, in packaging, that we actually forget that there's a massive ingredient known as relationship, as human transfer, as experiential transfer that we can bring to our client that they cannot get anywhere else, and we totally forget to bring it to them because we have not taken inventory of it. Mm-hmm. So number one, I ask you, who are you? And have you touched it and identified it and incorporated it into your market offering?
Mm-hmm. You know, two of my favorite that you have on there, know your prey, and then study your competitors.
Absolutely.
What I enjoy about you is that you really have a passion for both business and wildlife. And I read in an interview that you said, quote, "My dad took me into the bush for the very first time, and the truth is that is where my love affair with Africa began. And it's just absolutely, totally part of the puzzle of who I am as a human being. I love
Correct.
That. Where did your passion and interest for business begin?
Very true. From the earliest memories I have of both, I just had an instinctive sort of passion that was burnt into my psyche. As you correctly mentioned, my dad took me to the bush for the first time when I was 7 years old, mm-hmm. and I was, as they say in Zulu, bitten by the bug of Africa, and there was that. And at the same time, I believe that my first sort of lemonade stand, I think my mom says, when I was 4 years old. And you know, more so than it is for business, it's for the hunt of entrepreneurial energy, mm-hmm. Which is an adrenaline. But it is more the prospect and the opportunity we have to innovate, to originate, to bring things to the marketplace as human beings, you know, engage in this world and find niche opportunities, see gaps where other people do not. And that entrepreneurial space to formulate a thing, package it, and bring it to the market in a professional offering, I think is an extremely rewarding process. Hmm. And, you know, it's another interesting aspect that we are so, you know, we're under such a crunch right now, Sheldon, mm-hmm. that we almost forget that we actually have the capacity and ability to hunt.
Well,
and we've totally, you know, almost forgot that.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think many entrepreneurs are either waiting for the economy to pick up or waiting for business to come in the door. And it really seems that your approach is to be a little more aggressive. Would you think that's correct?
I mean, Sheldon, you've truly hit the nail on the head there. And, you know, right in front in the book and both in you know, my keynotes, my platform keynotes, mm-hmm. We have this huge, you know, slide that goes up. You know, hunt, this is what a mission statement looks like.
Right.
Corporate mission statement in the African bush. You know, hunt or be hunted. Have a good day, sign God. And I'll tell you what the issue is. You cannot get a Domino pizzas delivered to you in the African bush. You know, Starbucks will not make you a sandwich, and, you know, Arby's does not deliver. If you are not consistently moving towards client contact with regularity and passion and consistency, mm-hmm. then you are on the other side of the equation simply waiting to be hunted, mm-hmm. because it's not coming to you. And, you know, one of the paradigm shifts that's required, Sheldon, and I've had the opportunity to speak for Society of Human Resource Management, SHRM, mm-hmm. Some of their major Megan session events. And this is a huge paradigm shift that is really starting to trickle down into the HR mindset that, in fact, you know, we have been so well fed, not only in this country, but globally. We've mm-hmm. become so accustomed to those huge, big lion pride hunts, you know, with massive corporate conglomerate resources, big, huge infrastructures that will just come into our marketplace, take clients, close them down, and maximize profit extraction, that, you know, the notion of me as a solo, solitary entrepreneur having to go out there and actually hunt business has almost died within us. And, you know, we have to dig deep, revive this, mm-hmm. you know, breathe oxygen into it and really go out there and engage.
You've said that natural predators spend more time engaging life than they do taking it. This totally makes sense in wildlife, but you really relate it to business. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. It is a phenomenon that the most successful predators in the natural world are actually those that do the most living. Mm-hmm. And leopard, by the way, exhibit this par excellence. Mm-hmm. They are so deeply and, you know, I want to say intently. Now, of course, this is all instinctive behavior, but they are totally consumed with their living hours, meaning their living hours are seen as an opportunity for total engagement of the world around them. Because what this does is it really defines the opportunity for closure when it comes along. When you are fully engaged in your marketplace, when you understand that, you know, taking a drive to you know, Starbucks on a Sunday morning with your wife, your family, your spouse for a cup of coffee, you know, mm-hmm. going to church for a service, going to a friend's wedding, is not just going to church or going to a friend's wedding. It is actually an opportunity for you to take in your marketplace and your environment. You sort of begin to condition yourself to see things that other people are simply seeing as day-to-day activity. But the trouble is that opportunity in the world is not labeled. And if you train your eyes to sort of, while you are engaging it, to be dispositioned to analyze it for critical opportunity, what it does, Sheldon, is it makes you become super aware of what I like to call entrepreneurial opportunity, which is that small little space and place that is just not obvious to the naked eye because people are busy consuming the world and not choosing it. And this is a key distinction. So absolutely, you know, your living moments, your living hours, your living days need to be, they need to be robust. They need to be engaged. You need to be fully conscious in this world because those, that is actually what will make your hunting opportunities and your hunting time so finessed and so precise when it comes to opportunity closure.
What is leadership to you?
You know, in lepidology, we speak about two aspects of existence. There are those majestic, beautiful herds of Africa, those impala, zebra, wildebeest, buffalo, moving in herds of 200, 300, 400, 500, you know, that live in a place and space of process-centric existence. Sheldon, what I mean to say by that is that they live in this place and space where they get up every single morning in a volatile, by the way, environment that seeks to take them down. And they ask one question: what is it that I need this day to simply survive? How do I not get eaten and taken out today? But then I ask you, what of those majestic predators of Africa, those lion, leopard, cheetah, hyena, that live in a place and space of result-centric thinking? You see, the thing is, Sheldon, they awaken precisely the same marketplace. The only thing that has shifted is their intrinsic headspace. And they ask but one question: what do I have this day that brings me just this much closer to client contact? And you see, the difference between living in a need-driven space as opposed to a have-driven space is that one is leadership and the other is what I call findership. People that wake up and come into their boardrooms in the morning, come into their offices, you know, sit around strategic planning meetings, sit around leadership sales meetings, and walk into their staff and say, look, ladies and gentlemen, this is where we're looking to go, and this is what we need in order to get that done. That is not leadership, Sheldon. That's findership. That's about what is deficient with our current situation, and what can I import from the outside to bridge that gap. But then there are those that come into a meeting, that same precise environment, and they say, ladies and gentlemen, this is where we're looking to go, and here is what we have with which to do it. Now, that is leadership. That traits from a place of have. That is a, that is about the articulation of proficiency, not deficiency. And so there is this tremendous distinction in the thinking of lepidology between result-centric, those that live in a place of have, those that are leaders, and process-centric, those that live in a place of need, that are truly finders.
As you're out there speaking, what's the mood of organizations, not only economy-wise, but leadership-wise?
You know, Sheldon, I am enormously blessed that through the many bureaus we work with and, you know, people such as yourself at Eagles Talent, where there are really extremely professional and finessed meeting planners that are working with top organizations the world over, you know, I'm blessed to have the opportunity to literally get inside the bosom of some of the most, you know, finessed and some of the strongest, you know, organizations on earth. And I can tell you that the, I want to answer your question by making the following three statements. It's confusing. There has been a tremendous paradigm shift, a total massive consolidation and contraction in the global economy, most likely, Sheldon, that will not be seen by another two or three generations. This is first of all. And, you know, A and B suite management are literally scratching their heads trying to work out, you know, where's this all going? And how do we retain, you know, existing through sale and distribution without, you know, massive overhead reduction and with dwindling margin? So there is a critical sort of rethink And what it's about is contraction. It's about doing more with less. It's about living in a place of have, not need. It's about becoming effective and efficient as individuals that then comprise effective and efficient teams. And, you know, this is a paradigm shift for a lot of organization management. Then there is the aspect of consumption. And this is a global aspect. The world is moving away from consumption. It's moving away from consumerism to chooserism. Consumers are beginning to be delineating, thinking, processing, choosing buyers of things they need, less so things they want. So this is a tremendous shift for the global economy and the global manufacturing economy that for the last 50 years has been totally consumer-driven. The third issue is liquidity in the marketplace. There is a tremendous lockup, and I want to say to you that the flow of liquidity has simply just been dammed up. Banks have money. I mean, there's money out there, you know, to flow. The issue is that all, you know, lending criteria, both at a commercial and as at a domestic level, are being fully revisited. And not only from a regulation and compliance perspective, but as well, Sheldon, from, you know, the whole notion of what is profitable, what is viable, and the risk assessment of, you know, money movement. So while that takes place, if I don't have people, you know, getting credit to buy my 52-inch, you know, high-definition Blu-ray TVs at Best Buy, I now have to sort of recondition my whole, you know, then what business am I actually in? And so this whole rethink, you know, with these three pillars really forming a critical space, you know, for leadership teams to reassess business, there is a lot of instability, a tremendous amount of instability. There is a tremendous amount of uncertainty. You put on top of that, you know, all the issues of compliance regulation in terms of hiring, including, you know, healthcare regulation, etc. There's just, people are just in a wait and see mode. You know, let's just step back off this thing. Let's see where it goes. Let's get an understanding. And by the way, this is taking place globally. I just came back from Hong Kong not 2 weeks ago. I was there for a speaking engagement in a Fortune 500 environment. And I can share with you that, you know, we here see them as one of the most robust and, you know, invigorated emerging markets that's really taking the steam out of our marketplace here. But allow me to share with you that they, too, are sitting in a wait-and-see mode because their manufactured channel distribution is dependent on, you know, our consumption. And if we're not consuming, they're not manufacturing. So it's not so simple, and the grass is not greener on the other side. And, you know, these issues are kind of where business and corporate America and global corporations are really at this point in time.
Well, Kivi, you've given us so much interesting stuff to think about, and I really really like your approach to the six pillars and your leopardology idea. I think it's great, and I think it's relevant, and it it just really, I think it works, and I think people can make that connection. I think you paint the picture of the African bush very well, and you have a just a great amount of passion about that, and I think it, I'm sure that it comes across in your speaking engagements. Kivi, I just want to thank you so much for joining us on the Eagles Talent Podcast, and it's truly been a pleasure having you on as a guest.
Sheldon, it's truly, my honor. First of all, I thank you for the opportunity, and second of all, I would really like to say that, you know, working with an organization of your caliber and the account executives and the meeting planners at Eagles Talent is always a true pleasure.
This has been the Eagles Talent Podcast. For more information, visit our website at eaglestalent.com.